533 on Downtown, presented each afternoon by Hollywood Casino, Hotel, and Raceway. 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. Let's go to Boston. Talk a little Boston sports, Red Sox, Patriots, who knows what else. We're joined by Comcast Sportsnet New England's Gary Tanguay. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Richie. How are you? How's things?
I'm doing great. Now, are you doing early mornings this week on EEI?
No, that would be Mr. Ordway. I was doing middays.
Middays, okay. I saw you.
Yes, Mr. Ordway stabbed me in the back. He and I have been going at it. Based on both of our athletic ability, the fight has been just exhausting.
Well, I'm sure of that. A slap fight for the ages. Now, I saw what you're hanging.
Oh, yeah. I did middays this week.
Hanging at the golf course with Wakefield, too? That's a tough job.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's a beautiful country course, too. Country club, excuse me, Belmont Hill for the Red Sox Foundation. Always great to talk to Wake. Saw Psycho Lions. Lenny Clark was over there. Sean Thornton. So it was a great time.
And apparently, I guess you're not going to be on David Ortiz's Christmas card list.
Well, I know. You know, Rich, I just think that if you can, the upper respiratory thing, if you can have an idea, you can have an idea, you can wait to pinch hit. I think he could have played. The doctor said, you know, he could go home, so that certainly takes him off the hook. There's no way the Red Sox would ever throw Ortiz under the bus. The manager certainly wouldn't do it. I think he went home. Some people were wondering if he, you know, left early, went on vacation. I think the guy was sick. I don't doubt that, but I just wondered, well, how badly did he want to play? And they obviously could have used him. Well, they lost by a couple of runs, but, you know, if you're a teaser, you're sitting there and saying, you know, is this really worth it? They've got Hanley in my position at DH. I should be the DH. I don't want to play the field. Hanley should be playing the field. So, you know, I don't feel well. Doc says I can go home. I'm not going to push it. I think that's kind of what's going on there. And I've never been on Ortiz's Christmas list, so I'll get over it.
So what do we know about this team? Here we are, All-Star break, 6.5 out. Yes, it's certainly something they could make up in the second half, but we've just never seen, I don't think, anything of this team that would lead me to believe they'll be there come September.
Oh, I agree with you, absolutely. I mean, I think they're going to be sellers at the deadline unless, you know, they pull off a sign-and-trade with, like, a Cueto, which I don't know if that's going to happen. A lot of teams are going to be after that deal with Cincinnati. Yeah, there's no question. They'll be trying to get rid of Koji, you know, Napoli, you know, veterans. I mean, if anybody wanted Victorino for the rest of the season, they'll be trying to make deals like that and focus on the young guys. They just don't have the pitching, Rich. You know, they had Buchholz, who pitched out of his mind, and they still weren't able to make any headway. I mean, look, they picked up, what, 4 games, and they're 6.5 out now, but they're still in last place. Their starter, their supposed ace, pitched out of his mind. Now he's hurt. Eduardo Rodriguez, I love him, but they're not going to let him pitch a lot. He's probably going to go to the sixth inning every game. The bullpen is in shambles. And other than Rodriguez pitching, you've got nobody. So they have no chance. You know, it doesn't matter how many runs, you know, they score. They just, you knew when they had the 3-2 lead over the Yankees on Sunday that the Yankees were going to come back over that game. You just knew.
Hmm. What do they do with Buchholz now? My greatest hope was that they were going to trade him at the deadline, because even when he was pitching well, I would grind my teeth while watching him. He may be my least favorite Red Sox player ever, and that includes Carl Everett.
Whoa. That's saying something, because Carl Everett was nuts. the thing with Buchholz is, while I understand the reasoning why you'd want to trade him, but other teams know that he's fragile, too. So I don't know what you were going to get in return. I was willing to say, look, if Johnson comes up and pitches well, I mean, he's going to be up after the break. And if Rodriguez pitches well, and then you could have Buchholz in there for decent money, you know, in the mix. I mean, you have Porcello. I mean, that's okay if you're depending on two young guys to be, you know, your aces, if you will, of the future. I was okay with that, because I just didn't think you were going to get a lot from Buchholz, because everybody knows what he is, man. He's a big tease, and you can't depend on him.
If they don't get out of their last-place position by the end of the year, even if they stay within 6-8 games, does Farrell stay with the team?
I think he does, because he's been very loyal, and he plays the political game. I don't think he should stay with the team. I would make a change, because I think he has not done a good job in managing. I mean, listen, he was awful in Toronto. He managed for one good year here, and they won a World Series. I get it. It's kind of like, you know, when you say that, I feel like I'm saying, man, I'm broke except for that $10 million I have in that account. But still, he doesn't seem to do a very good job of maintaining control of the locker room. People question some of his in-game strategy, and you have to be able to lead. And that's something Frank Kona could always do. I mean, the chicken and beer stuff, I understand. You know, they needed to make a change. But up until then, Terry always did a really good job of managing the Manny Ramirez's of the world and the Josh Becketts and all those personalities. And Farrell just doesn't have the ability to do that for whatever reason. I think he's going to stay because he tells the owners what they want to hear, and he does as told. Tito didn't do that. Tito was kind of his own man, and John Henry didn't like that. So I think he should be fired, but I think management will keep him because he's a yes man.
Gary Tanguay, Comcast Sportsnet New England, with us here. Last week, indications from the commissioner's office that maybe a decision would be announced on Tom Brady's appeal. You suggested, I believe, that Goodell was afraid to make a decision in this whole situation. Do they roll it out tomorrow or Thursday when the sports calendar is empty?
I mean, you know, I got to give Ordway credit. You know, he had an in at the Patriots. I think, like, his wife and Belichick's girlfriend are friends or something, so he always gets the scoop, you know. And the Wells report, he told us when that was coming out, and he was told in 48 hours we're going to get something on Brady. So, you know, he's doing okay. He has some credibility there in Orway. But in my opinion, if I'm Goodell, I want to get as far away as the Hardy decision as possible, you know, because right. It just looks bad, even though they're two different cases and two different circumstances legally. I mean, obviously, what Hardy did, he's a despicable human being. But legally, Hardy has more leverage against Goodell than Brady does. If I'm Goodell, I don't want to hand down the suspension or my appeal anywhere near Hardy because it just looks bad no matter what. The guy was reduced to 4 games after beating up women, and then, you know, Brady's going to go from 4-2. It just looks bad. But I don't know if he's going to do that. Maybe Glenn's right and they do announce it tomorrow.
What's the out in this for Tom Brady to keep him from pushing this in a court of law? Is it an exoneration? Is it something that says, listen, we're going to keep you out for a game or two because you didn't cooperate fully, but we don't have any evidence that you manipulated footballs or were aware of what was going on?
Well, I don't think he'll ever be fully exonerated. No matter what, if you're out of New England, people are going to call him a cheater. That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, he's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his career. It's almost A-Rod-like, and what A-Rod did is certainly much more egregious than what Brady did. And I think Brady's guilty, but I think, like I've told you before, it's, you know, it's jaywalking, and they want to send him to the electric chair. So I don't think he ever totally clears his name. Because the people in New England, no matter what happens, are going to love him. People outside of New England, no matter what happens, are going to hate him and call him a cheater. I think if you went to one game, Brady would have a very hard time making an argument to take it to court. If you go to two games, I think his ego would get the best of him, and he would take it to court. But people are going to compare this to Hardy. Goodell should get out in a one game, I think. And then I think Brady will just take it and be ready for week two.
Who's on the Arbella Early Edition with you tonight?
The legendary Hall of Famer Bob Ryan is sitting to my left and doing his preparation. He is ready to go. Also Chris Gasper from the Boston Globe will be on as well. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. If the Hardy decision didn't occur, would Goodell reduce the suspension of Brady? I'm not so sure he would. We'll do some Red Sox with Bob, who's been a longtime season ticket holder and a fan of the Old Town team.
That sounds like great stuff. We'll be tuned in tonight, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mr. Tanguay, pleasure, sir, as always.
Hey, Rich, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Gary Tanguay here on Downtown.